Good morning, saints. It's good to be in SE15. I am another vicar in SE15. I'm postcode starting with 2. Okay? And it's good to be home. It's good to be home. The words, if you want a word to denote today's sermon, it's clothed, okay? So you've had washed, I believe, in the last couple of weeks. Well, after you wash, you've got to get some clothes on. Greg, you know I'm going to regret this, bro. How do I weave Christian unity, safeguarding Sunday, and your vision into a tapestry? I'm going to try by the grace of God. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Wow. Wow. Did you know you are holy and dearly loved? I don't think we grasp sometimes the love of God so deep in our soul that we need to feel it. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, friends, we are loved of God. We are beloved of God. Humanity is beloved of God. Palestinians, Israelis, Muslims, Christians are beloved of God. That's the statement. So in Colossians, this four-chaptered letter, epistle they call it, in Greece, of this small Christian community under the Roman Empire, they're trying to find out, what does it mean to be holy and dearly loved? When I first heard these words of this scripture was when I was around 12 years old. And it's never, ever left me. It's one of the most important scriptures I believe we could hear in our generation. I love the Gospels, don't get me wrong, and I love Jesus. So don't think this guy don't love Jesus. I love Jesus. But I love what the Apostle Paul had to say to the church at Colossae. Jesus Christ being overall in chapter 1. Chapter 2, the great Christ hymn, the first Christian hymn. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, therefore, as God's chosen people. That therefore means something came before that we need to take note of. And I first heard it at a Mission to London meeting. How many of you remember Mission to London when Luis Palau came to London? All right, some of you remember that. Some of you are thinking, what on earth is the man talking about? There's an Argentinian evangelist based in Portland, Oregon, in the US of A, in the Pacific Northwest, who came, a bit like Billy Graham back in the day, to preach the gospel. And loads of churches like yourselves, Rye Lane Baptist and others, joined in to Mission to London. That's what I remember it to be, back in the day as a little boy. And in a tent on Blackheath, I think it was a Doug Barnett who was speaking, an evangelist, and he read these words out and they never left me. Can I say to you, friends, that what you put into young people never leaves them? That's the reason why we do children and youth work, because if you start young, it never leaves you, but it's got to be the right stuff. Hello? It's got to be the right stuff. I'm grateful for my friends at Rye Lane Baptist Church taking me away as a scraggy SE15 little boy to Cornwall to hear the gospel of Jesus on a residential. Safeguarding wasn't so hot in those days, folks. But you know what? Somehow the grace of God got through. And God found me in Cornwall in 1980. And I was baptized in Rye Lane Baptist Church in the same year towards the end of the year. So my journey's not fully cradle Anglican, but you don't hold that against me, right? Because the week for prayer for Christian unity, right? Okay? That's how we roll. I'm grateful to my Pentecostal church that also has helped me in my journey. Not a million miles away, New Life Assembly Church in Dulwich with Pastor Lovell Bent, who I love to bits, who I don't get to see enough. He's going to kill me because I haven't seen him yet since I've been in Peckham. And all of these layers are therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. So, you are being washed, right? You've had your vision. I saw Greg was powering through last week, showing you about washed. And it's up above me, right? Worshippers who overflow, authentically real, spiritually generous, hopeful for the future, expecting what God will do, disciple making disciples, and you are going to be washed. I hope. I want to encourage you all. You've been set on a trajectory being God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You're going to get fed up of me saying it. But you know what? I want it to go deep into your souls. If every Christian understood what it means to be chosen and dearly loved, I wonder whether we beat each other up so much. I'm not going to get into your politics here in your church. But every time you are discussing things and looking at each other and working things out and discerning and discussing and deciding, look at that verse. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. It sets the tone differently, right? But if you're just looking at ourselves and not as the beloved of God, we could be in problems. We've just celebrated one of the most famous Christians' birthdays recently. How many people know whose birthday it was last week that's commemorated as a public holiday in America? Hello, anybody? Dr. Martin Luther King, thank you, Mark. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., one of the most celebrated Christians. And we all know that I Have a Dream speech. And tomorrow is MLK Day, and they've also got an inauguration of the 47th President of the United States. And you might see that as a blessing or an irony. And so one of the statements that Dr. King says is about being a beloved community. Have you ever heard that statement that Dr. King made? Being a beloved community. Dr. King's beloved community is defined by his Martin Luther King Center, led by his daughter Bernice. Dr. King's beloved community is a global vision in which all people can share in the wealth of the earth. In the beloved community, poverty, hunger and homelessness will not be tolerated because international standards of human decency will not allow it. Racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry and prejudice will be replaced by an all-inclusive spirit of sisterhood and brotherhood. Inspiring words, huh? You sound quiet, church. Okay. And he says this: the time is always right to do what is right. The time is always right to do what is right. In safeguarding, the time is right to do what is right. In evangelism, the time is right to do always what is right. In our love for each other, the time is right. Time is always right to do what is right. in our relationships. There's never a wrong time to do the right thing. Amen. The first mark of becoming beloved in this time of doing right in the church of God comes through baptism. I'm wearing my white t-shirt today. There's a reason why I'm wearing it. White is the season in the Church of England's liturgical colours. Did you know that? I'm just letting you know. It's just a bit subversive. So usually I will wear a white stole if I'm presiding. And so I thought best thing in All Saints is a t-shirt. Okay? So I wore a t-shirt. And white means special time, pay attention. So last week was the baptism of Jesus celebrated in the lectionary of the church, right? I know you don't follow the lectionary, don't worry about it. That's my problem. But we're talking about Jesus' baptism in the wilderness last week. And baptism is one of those core things that most of the Christian churches sign up to. It's the way in. It's the way for us to be unified, being part of the universal church of God, a greater community, beloved of God. It reminds us that we're designed for relationship with God. As God is in relationship in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This goes deep, wide, and high. Being beloved and knowing that you are beloved is a critical foundation to being an individual who can be part of God's beloved community. I don't know how many baptisms you have here. We've got a baptismal font in St. Mary's, which is both for littlies, and we've got a bigger one for biggies. And I'm looking forward to use the one for biggies. So whether you're an Anglican, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Catholic, a Pentecostal, there are forms and expressions of baptism that is a key common denominator of our common life in Jesus. And after we've done that and confessed Jesus, we have something called the creeds. Some of you are thinking, where on earth is he going this morning? But the creeds are really important because that's what we say, what we sign up to together as the whole people of God. I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. You heard those words before? Or this I believe if you want to sing the version. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what we believe. And all these Christian churches, after a big powwow in a place called Nicaea back in the day, said, this is what we believe. This is why I can stand before you, even though I'm in a neighboring church, and say that I too and part of your beloved community, the beloved of Christ. To be clothed is really important. Now, I brought one of my Christmas gifts today. And my kids, they kind of know their dad a bit, I hope, after 20-odd years. And so they bought me this wearable tech, which is really cool in Peckham. It's undercover kind of vibe. But in there is the speakers of life that I can hear my tunes on my podcasts. And I wear this walking around Peckham so I don't have the big headphones on me looking kind of too outrageous as a vicar. But surreptitiously, I've got my secret tech on and I'm listening to stuff. Being clothed as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we need to have that spiritual wearable tech. What do I mean by that? Being clothed in compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience is critical for a world that needs to know the love of God. Friends, I don't know about you, but when I think about safeguarding and all that has been a mess in our church, and I stand up because I'm a leader in God's church, we haven't been compassionate. We haven't been kind. We haven't been gentle. And not the least, patient with those who are trying to get justice, as Hermione rightly said. Why is that? When therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with those things, those layers of garments. If you're feeling a bit cold, you've got layers on, right? But the closest layer that is said at the end of this list is love. And over all these things, put on love, which binds the other garments all together in perfect unity. Saints, what does your compassion look like? What does your kindness look like? What does your gentleness look like? What does your patience look like with each other and with those who are hard sometimes to love because they're not neat and tidy as you'd want them to be? That's my challenge at St. Mary's. May I commend that challenge to you also. We often quote John 10, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but I have come in order that you might have life and have it abundantly. And we love it. We love that last verse. Yeah, the life-giving stuff, but there's the stuff that comes before then, to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And we look at those who are survivors of safeguarding and they have been robbed. They've been killed and almost destroyed. Some of them destroyed. Oh God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Jesus. It's a challenge, this life. Walking on Rye Lane is a challenge. I see a guy on Queen's Road every day and I'm praying and I'm crying at the same time. Who's not clothed in his right mind. I see crackheads walking down this part of the world. Where are we looking in this part of Peckham? A changing face of Peckham. Friends, none of us are immune from the challenges and pains of this life. If we are, then you're living somewhere else, not on this planet. In mind, body, and soul. We're always putting our best foot forward and presenting our best selves, right? We're looking respectable. But I'm wondering, how are we showing those garments of God's love in our lives, in our families, in our world of work, in our places and spaces of leisure and influence? What does that look like for you and I? What does that look like for me as a leader in a church, working with my other church leaders? How do I live this out or not? I love a line by Brené Brown. How many of you have heard of Brené Brown? She says something really, really cool. She says a few cool things, but one, clear is kind, unclear is unkind. Clear is kind, unclear is unkind. To show the love of God, we need to be clear, because that is kindness. To do anything else, I'm wondering whether we're being kind. To preach Christ crucified is not always the best and scary, but it's clear, right? It's hard, but it's clear. It's kind. People don't want to be messed about, really. One thing I know about Peckham is that Peckham is in your face. Yeah? True or false? Right. You lot are quiet today. I don't know why you're so quiet. You worry me. I hear you praising God like something, but now this is different gravy. Okay. It's like that, is it? Clear is kind, unclear is unkind. Peckham is in your face. But here we go. Are we in the face of Peckham with the love of God? Holy and dearly loved. That's who we should be as the people of God. In all of Peckham, St. Mary's, St. Luke's, All Saints, Rye Lane, Heaton Road Baptist Church, and all the other Christians who walk up and down this lane. Who we are. Clothing comes after being washed, friends. We don't walk around naked. I hope not. We walk around clothed. We walk around clothed in God's love and in our right minds because God can set our minds right. We walk around clothed in our right minds because God can set our hearts right. We walk around clothed because God loves you and I because of outstretched arms on a cross. That's the reason why. Clothing comes after being washed. But friends, some of us can be clothed in our raggedy raggedies. And we want to go back to our old way of life and lifestyle. And our cultures, and culture trumps everything that I do. As Hermione rightly said. I wonder whether we can do a bit more than that and let those clothes be washed in the blood of Jesus. Know that song, Your Majesty, I don't deserve. Your royal robes. You know, we are what we sing, friends. And thank you to my dear sister for leading worship. We are what we sing. Think about what you sing sometimes. You're singing stuff deep into your soul. Coming to land. Bearing is something. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievance you may have one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Bearing is something that we don't sometimes want to do. But it's a discipline for us as Christians journeying. Much of the issues around being Christians is in the how. How do we live well for God in the 21st century here in downtown Peckham and beyond? Isn't that the issue? How do we live well for God? Jesus. And it requires work. It requires washing of attitudes. It requires clothing that are fitting of the children of God. I remember CNA used to be down here in Rye Lane and my mum used to take me there. Used to be bored out of my brains. Mum, forgive me. Because if you go shopping with certain type of women, it's just hard work. Especially if you're a son to a mother. So CNA back in the day. Clothing shop. Dutch clothing shop, I believe. We need to wear the clothes of God. The compassion, the kindness, the gentleness, the patience. We need to wear those every day. Every day. And we need to bear the load. Friends, you're going to disagree sometimes. It's how you disagree. That's the issue. Are you going to disagree and say, you know what? I tell you what, I'll just walk out of the place. That'll do. Let me tell you, your presence is missed because therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. When you are absent, your absence is a void in the body. When I don't see some of my Christian brothers and sisters at certain things, I miss them. When All Saints is not at stuff, you are missed, people. I just thought I'd tell you. You are missed. God has richly blessed this church. Hallelujah. But when you are not present, because to him or her that is given much, much is required. 2025, can it be a year of generosity of us all? I wonder. Bearing the load. Bearing the load as Christians in Peckham. Pray. Bear the load in prayer. Bear the load in witness. Bear the load in helping those who are suffering injustice. Bear the load. The challenge of forgiveness is not just saying sorry, because sorry is a sorry word, but a genuine repentance with repair. Some of us wonder why we talk about things like reparations. I'm not going to get into that, but there's a reason. And I wonder whether if we chose to do what Zacchaeus did, after all the people that we were wronged, how different the world would look. We never talk about Zacchaeus-style repentance. A repentance that costs. Just saying sorry to people that have been harmed is not enough. It's not enough. People in Peckham recognize that stuff. If you hurt me and then you just say sorry, is that enough? Just asking the question. And it takes work to put on those garments and repair those garments. So friends, finally, it comes back to love. Therefore, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What's your love language like here, All Saints? Love, as I said, is outstretched arms on a cross. That gives us a second chance to be washed and cleansed in the blood of Christ and daily renewed by the Spirit, but we need to be clothed. So after you get washed, get clothed, and may the adventure begin with all of us, of all churches, of all generations, being willing to engage, move in the next steps, that we too, as Dr. King said, can be a beloved community. Amen.